understand the world, but I know that when hard things happen, I should pray. So that's what I do.
I pray that we can keep learning, whatever that looks like, and that we'll be together, even if it's in a whole new way.
God, I pray as we step into the unknown future that you continue to show me things about myself and life, things I can't learn in books. Be with me, God, no matter how this year unfolds.
Help us, God, to do our best every day.
Even when every day isn't what we thought it would be.
Keep us safe and keep us learning, one day at a time.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
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 Amen, 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 and good morning. It is good to be with you in worship and with you online. Thank you for joining us over the mystery of the internet. In these strange times, we find connection wherever we can. It's easy to feel like everything is chaotic, but here we tell a story. We claim a hope. We know a person who anchors our very existence, who gives us joy each morning and allows us to be present in worship here. So thank you for testifying to that by tuning in, by joining here where you are. If you can online, comment, say good morning, welcome with the peace, follow along, and put anything, questions on there you have. We'll answer those after the service. And for all of you, feel free to just lift up your hearts to God as you are here this morning. As you leave here this morning, there are note cards out there, our annual encouraging and blessing of the teachers and staff. If you would write a note down and leave that there, we will distribute those to the teachers. You can take the pen with you, or there's wipes there to wipe them off after you're done with what's going on. This evening at 6:30, we're beginning a prayer service right here in the sanctuary for anyone who is interested for a half hour. On Tuesday, we're gathering at Jack Hughes's for a men's gathering. There's information on the back of your bulletin about where that is, and look forward to just seeing people over the original social networking site, the campfire. But for now, we want to celebrate coming back to school. And so Pastor Jen will come forward and lead us in our call to worship as we celebrate with a back-to-school blessing this morning.
Today we come together to celebrate and worship God of infinite power and love, who has called us into community.
God, you call us to share your good news.
Good news of love, justice, and peace with a world in need.
You have gifted us with rich resources
from scripture, tradition, reason, and experience.
These have allowed people to develop new ways of listening to the voices of others, attending to their interests and concerns, connecting with diverse people and groups, and engaging them as a people of faith.
Knowledgeable God, we have so much to learn about your world, your people, and your gifts. At the start of the school year, we are beginning something new. New things can be exciting, scary, wonderful, and confusing. God is always with us. God is with us no matter how we might be feeling. God is with us every day, all of the time. May we sense God's presence in each passing moment.
For those of you present and online, please stand as you are able, as we recognize you this year. Children, youth, those who will be students this year, those who are staff in schools, families supporting their children's educations at home. We give thanks for schools, classrooms, and homes, and for the families, staff, and students who fill them each day.
We thank you for this new beginning, for new books and new ideas.
We thank you for sharpened pencils, pointy crayons, those are awesome, by the way, and crisp blank pages and screens waiting to be filled. We ask your blessing on the many tools and devices we use to love and serve our neighbors in this changing world. We also thank you for the gift of making mistakes and being able to try again.
Help us to remember that asking the right questions is often as important as giving the right answers. Today we give you thanks for these, your children and youth, and we ask you to bless them with curiosity, understanding, and respect. May their backpacks and supplies be a sign to them that they have everything they need to learn and grow this year in school and at church. May we all be guided by your love.
Bless the teachers, the coaches, the counselors, the administrators, the paras, and all other staff who are involved in the educational process, including families at home. Grant them energy, passion, discipline, and endurance for their daily tasks.
May all of us share in the excitement of the season,
whether we are in school or not.
Help us all to support the work the school staff and families do to build up our community and our future.
We rejoice with all of you who will receive this back-to-school gift. They're sanitizing packs with a strap on them to hook on to a bag or wherever you might put them. They have our logo on them, and they say, spread love, not germs. May these remind the children and youth that they are loved. Students will be given these on the way out of the building after the service, and you who are joining us online are welcome to drive through if you'd like afterwards to receive your blessing, or you can pick the gift up at a different time. We're also happy to deliver them to your family. If you have a child in your life that does not attend our church, I know we have lots of grandparents, aunts, uncles, you are welcome to take one to bless them as well. Make sure that you test positive for faith, keep your distance from doubt, and isolate yourself from fear. Trust in God through it all. You may be seated.
This year, we will be learning in many different places.
The one thing will always stay the same.
No matter where we are, God is with us. God loves us. We are God's children.
This year is different as we go back to school. Since March, many of us have been using, making, donating, and buying face masks. If you have made or donated face masks, we ask you to please stand as you are able. Thank you for helping to make our community safer.
Oh God, bless these face masks. May the fabric that protects each nose and mouth be as strong as the fabric that knits together the human family.
Blessed are those who give the gift of their time, talent, and resources to create and donate face masks for others.
Blessed are those to fill bins and stock shelves and counters with masks and other supplies.
Bless us all that when we wear a mask, you will more fully open our eyes and our hearts to one another. You may be seated.
God, you have made our world extraordinarily beautiful and fascinating.
We are happy to praise you for everything through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And if you would take a time to message one another, however you feel to do so socially distant, please message God's peace to one another. Shalom to you all.
It's all in all, right?
know if this is, there we go. This morning, the first hymn that Sherry and I want to bless you with, and if you can ponder the words, is in the green hymnal. All of the hymns are the green hymnal this morning. Number 3040, You Are My All in All. Just think about putting all of your trust and faith in God.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my
Grayson, Melanie, Sam, and you will receive Bibles today. If you are here, I invite you to come forward and stand on one of the green papers on the floor. If you are at home, I invite you to stand. And we'll hand out the Bibles first and then go forward with the liturgy.
If you guys want to turn and face the congregation, turn around, Sam, there you go. Receive the word of God. Learn its stories and study its words. Its stories belong to us all, and these words speak to us all.
Receive these Bibles with your hands, your hearts, and your minds. Let us join in responding to these children together.
We rejoice in this step in your journey with God. We pray God will guide you, your family, and us as you use this Holy Bible in your home, in church, and in the world. We will learn together and grow in our love for God's word. Dear God, in the stories of the Bible, you tell us how much you love the world. Help Grayson, Melanie, Sam, and Will to treasure their Bibles and use them, finding time each day to read and tell others the stories of faith. May we together discover the love of God as we all read the stories of the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated, and we can clap in celebration.
I know Sam is excited. That is a different Bible than the others received, so he has a unique place to be able to read God's word. The Bible is one of those things we can turn to in these ever-changing times. So also is prayer. Our God, through the work of Jesus, is always available to us day and night, in moments of joy and moments of sorrow. And now we together collect the cries of our hearts and bring them before God. If you have prayer requests online, please share those, and we will read those as they come up, and we will share those throughout the week. If you have one here, if you could raise your hand, Pastor Jen will come around and repeat it into the microphone for those people who are online. But now, if we would, let's offer our hearts to God.
I apologize that I do not have my phone with me this morning, so the online, the what?
Mine's over on the seat.
I got it.
Oh, that's okay. Joseph will either read them or you may read them online throughout the week and pray for those people.
Sheila's childhood friend from England has a sister who has illness with her foot, and so she might be losing it. So prayers of healing and comfort as she goes through that difficult time.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Stephen has a friend who lost a pet, and so anyone who experiences that loss, he would like prayers for.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Okay. Sherry's first grandchild goes away to college today, so prayers for protection and guidance. And I know the Puckets dropped Dylan off on Friday, so prayers for everyone in this transition, especially made difficult this year. I know it can't be easy, so prayers for everyone who's experiencing those transitions.
Lord, hear our prayers. Jan Hibner shared that Betty Ridnour is having trouble with her legs. Please lift her up. Lord, hear our prayers.
I have a cousin named Lori, and she has stage 2 lung cancer, so her family has asked my family to lift them up in prayer in our churches.
Lord,
hear our prayers. On the altar this morning, you'll see the white and the red flowers. So celebration and grief. We grieve with the family of Joellen McConnell, who passed away last weekend. A service of remembrance will be this Saturday at 1 p.m. for anyone who want to join in remembering and celebrating her life here in this space. The other one is for the announcement of Auden Ray Imhoff. Josh and Megan were able to bring a healthy child into this world in these times, so we celebrate with the family. Lord, hear our prayers.
Okay. Linda has a good friend who has a granddaughter born with difficulties, health difficulties, who's still at Riley, so we lift them up for healing prayers.
Lord, hear our prayers. It was shared that one of our members, Roxy Deer, is at home battling COVID-19. So we lift her up in her time and her fight. Lord, hear our prayers. I received a text this morning from our night janitor. If you have not met the Reverend Paul Samora, he is an amazing individual. He got stuck here after finishing his master's degree at Bethany Theological Seminary, and he's been a pastor in Sierra Leone for many decades. He shared with me this morning that someone that we know, Bishop John Yambasu, died this morning in a car accident. I was not here, but I heard that he addressed our congregation during the graduation ceremony of the Sierra Leone pastors that we had. And so he was a leader. He was the president of the African bishops and just a worldwide leader. And so the United Methodist Church grieves that loss. Sierra Leone grieves that loss. And I know we grieve that loss. Lord, hear our prayers. Let us go to God this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, you're always ready to hear, even before we're ready to speak. God, our hearts cry out to you for so many things. Those we've named this morning, the people, the causes, the moments, the joy, the sorrow. And yet, Lord, there's more in our hearts. Many of us wonder, when will this end? What is going on? And yet, Lord, you are there. You are making all things new. There is still hope and redemption in your word. And when we have eyes to see, we see it spilling out everywhere. Though there is fear in going back to school, there is joy in seeing friends again. Though there is concern about how we proceed as a community, we still have loved ones and neighbors who fight for one another in ways we will never know. God, your love is made manifest in our everyday actions and prayers and thoughts. No matter how much we anguish, no matter how long we stay away, Lord, you hear our laments. You draw near to us in our cries, and you rejoice with us. We lift up to you, Lord, all those we named. We give you thanks for the ways in which we are able to meet together, even when we can't be together. I think of the Indiana Annual Conference that met this weekend. And we are still able to receive and celebrate ordination services. I think to you about the ways in which we're able to grieve with one another, though not always in the same space. The ways in which we can celebrate online or outside in a socially distant way. Though it may not be as it once was, Lord, you are doing a new thing. And there is good in it. And let us find that and celebrate it and rejoice as we worship you. God, let us continue to proclaim good news to the poor. Bind up the brokenhearted. Bring freedom to those who are enslaved. And bear well this community around us, that we may somehow, some way, pass along that grand story, the truths of your love in Jesus. The ways in which he taught us in the Bible of your love. And so now, Lord, we unite in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture readers this morning are some of the teenagers from Tribe. Some of them are shy.
Some of them are very good readers, and they read like they're on a speed reading competition. So I invite you to open your own Bible this morning or your application on your phone and follow along in Hebrews chapter 11 as we hear the word of God.
Hebrews 11, 1 through 12. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that it was seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteousness when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God has taken him away. For those who he was taken, he was commended, and one who has pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes in him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about these things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he commended the world and became heir of his righteousness. That is,
each of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. And how did they do this? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back any time they wanted, but they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. By faith, Abraham, at the time testing, offered Isaac back to God. Acting in faith, he was as ready to return the promised son, his only son, as he had been to receive him. And this after he had already been told, "Your descendants shall come from Isaac." Abraham figured that if God wanted to, he could raise the dead, in a sense that was happened when he received Isaac back alive from off the altar. Back in an act of faith, Jacob on his deathbed blessed each of Joseph's sons, in turn blessing them with God's blessings, not his own, as they bowed worshipfully upon the staff. By an act of faith, Joseph was dying, prophesied the exodus of Israel, and made arrangements for his own burial.
By an act of faith, Moses' parents hid him away for 3 months after his birth. They saw the child's beauty, and they braved the king's decree. By faith, Moses, when grown, refused the privileges of the Egyptian royal house. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic, soft life of sin with the oppressors. He valued suffering in the Messiah's camp far greater than the Egyptian wealth because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. By an act of faith, he turned his heel on Egypt. Indifferent to the king's blind rage, he had his eye on the one no one can see, and he kept right on going. By an act of faith, he kept the Passover feast and sprinkled Passover blood on each house so that the destroyer of the firstborn wouldn't touch them. By an act of faith, Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians tried it and drowned. By faith, the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, and the walls fell flat. By an act of faith, Rahab, the Jericho harlot, welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust God. I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, and sword thrusts, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who, under torture, refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips and, yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood, stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them, making their way the best they could on the cruel edges of the world.
Hebrews 11:36-40. Some were made fun and even whipped. Some were held by chains. Some were put in prisons. Some were killed with stones. Some were sawed in two. Some were killed with swords. They went around wearing the skins of sheep and goats. They were poor. They were attacked. They were treated badly. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains. They lived in caves. They lived in holes in the ground. All of these people were praised because they had faith, but none of them received what God had promised. That's because God had planned something better for us, so they would only be made perfect together with us.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. A huge cloud of witnesses is all around us, so let us throw off everything that stands in our way. Let us throw off any sin that holds onto us so tightly, and let us keep on running the race marked out for us.
Thank you.
All right. So I want to thank Roxy Deer for filming that. That was, we got together two practices, the Wesley Ringers, and then we recorded on July 22nd. So yeah, thank you guys so much, the Wesley Ringers, for humoring me. We got together and recorded that and another piece of music for another service. All right, the next hymn I'm going to just sort of sing for you, and you can listen to the words, is a new one to me, and I believe others. It's the Green Hymnal 3144, When the Waves Are Crashing. So just listen and think again about just giving your all to God during difficult times. When the waves are crashing and my faith is drowning, though I may forget you hold me, Lord. When the cliffs are steepest and my hope is weakest, though I fail to trust you, when dark clouds have gathered and my love is battered, though I may desert you, hold me, Lord. Faith may be eternal, hope will last forever. Greater still is love that holds me.
That was fun. Good morning. So I noticed I'm going to introduce this topic this morning by something that's very familiar in my life, and it's my swim lesson instructing. This is one of my favorite things to do. I haven't gotten to do it in a very long time. Yes, it takes a lot of time, but it is so joyful to watch children learn to trust themselves and begin to swim in the water. I must say, as I introduce this lesson, one of my youngest pupils is in the back. Her name is Bryn. And I must say, Bryn was never a part of this example because she has never been afraid of the water. So, so when I begin teaching swim lessons, Karis and I love to teach the youngest children, and Zeke was also one of our students. And when these students come, a lot of them are terrified to even put their feet in the water. So that's the first step, right? You just got to get in. You just got to put your feet on that top step. Many of them sit on the top step with only their feet in the water, and they play with the toys. Slowly but surely, they trust me enough to take their hands and to help them stand on the bottom step. Some of them cling to you. Please don't let go of me. And then, after we've played with them and helped them to see that the water can be fun, and over time they're learning to trust us, then the next step is to take them out into the water where they can't stand up. Again, we're still holding on to them. And then we go even further to the place where they just hold our fingers. We're no longer holding on to them, they're holding on to us. And then the next step is to get them on the wall, to jump in with us holding their hands. Now, as you can imagine, this is the hardest step we take. And usually once we get them to jump in holding our hands, it's not very long before they jump in and swim on their own. Because they are slowly learning to trust that we won't let them drown and that they can do this. So this is a learned trust process. Then there's that kind of blind leap of faith that you've heard about. So these are two types of way that we put faith in something, right? One is a learned faith, and the other is, let's just see what happens. I was younger in my youth days, obviously, And the boys in my youth group used to think it was funny to pull the chair out from under you when you went to sit down. I actually broke my tailbone on a tile floor one year, and so my youth minister got very aggressive about stopping this behavior. But we trust when we sit down in a chair, right, that the chair is going to hold us up. Now, one of my favorite films from my childhood was the Indiana Jones series. I think you know what's about to come on the screen. This is where Indiana Jones takes a leap of faith.
Jump this.
Ah! Indy!
Indy, you must hurry!
Come quickly!
It's a leap of faith. Oh, God.
You must believe, boy. You must believe.
Many times, God has asked me to do something that requires that leap of faith, and I'm like, can you show me the bridge first, Lord? Because I'm not really sure it's going to be there when I take that step. And Indy has to take that leap of faith and trust that something will be there. Today, we are going to focus on the description of faith that's found in Hebrews, specifically chapter 11. First, though, we're going to have to get a little background on the book of Hebrews. This is one of my husband's favorite books, and quite frankly, it's one that I don't read that often because it's very intense. The author of Hebrews is still largely unknown to us. We're not sure who wrote this book, but we are pretty certain that he had some close connection to the apostles, and we also are certain that he knows Judaism very well. He's definitely writing to a group of Jewish Christians because he quotes, or rather refers to, many of the Hebrew scriptures, and he assumes that they know these passages very well. If you want greater detail of the book of Hebrews, I challenge you to watch the Bible Project's Introduction to Hebrews because it's very well done. Now, it appears that this group of believers has been experiencing some kind of persecution. We're not certain exactly what kind of persecution, but it's been happening. And because they are so afraid of suffering, it's caused them to begin to drift away from their calling in Christ. And they're no longer wholeheartedly following him. So the author first spends a great deal of time reviewing all of the things that once provided certainty in these believers' minds. He talks to them about the angels, the Torah, Moses, the promised land, the priest, the sacrifices they used to offer or have heard about. And every time, he demonstrates to them how Jesus is superior. Jesus is better, higher, more important, and more reliable than any of these things they know so well. He can be trusted above all else. Then the author goes on to explain that those remaining faithful to Christ will find the certainty that they seek. Christ will not abandon them. He delves into then what we've called famously the chapter of faith, beginning with that well-known first verse. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Scholar Brad Eastman notes that this is not a definition of faith, as we have often thought. but it's rather a description of what it can accomplish in the life of the believer when properly understood and lived. This faith ties the believer to what they cannot see. Then the author of Hebrews goes on to provide roughly 21 examples. Now, often when I ask for an example or I'm reading a book and it gives me an example, I get one or two things. The author of Hebrews is like, I'm going to give you all that I can possibly think of, and then I'm going to close it out with, I could go on and on. So he gives us about 21 examples of the things that God has accomplished through the people that had faith in him over the centuries. The hearers would have known these examples well. They grew up hearing these stories of faith, right? Their ancestors shared them with them over and over again. Then the end of this chapter outlines the horrific accounts of many people who endured persecution and yet remained faithful to God. Even then, they did not receive what was promised. I've read this chapter, I can't tell you how many times, and this verse hit me square in the face. They did not receive the promise they hoped in. Why? Because the fulfillment of the promises is to be experienced by all of us together. Think how powerful that is. God wanted us all to experience that great fulfillment together. Which unfortunately means some of us must now go through suffering and not see an end yet. So why does the author of Hebrews recount all of these things that the hearers already know? You already know the answer to this question. We are forgetful. Something bad happens and we immediately go, "Where are you, Lord?" The author of Hebrews says, "Let me tell you where the Lord is." And he recounts all of the stories that they know so well. Like us, these hearers need constant encouragement. They need to be reminded they're not alone, that others have suffered with them, and that as they endure, Christ will walk with them, just as he did with those that went before. Now we get to enter the story as people who are reading about our biblical ancestry. What a time in 2020 to reread the stories of the faithful and what they endured. We, too, are surrounded by this same uncertainty. How long will COVID be here? When will we get to safely sing together again? Will school stay open? How much more will our economy suffer? Who will become president? What changes will be made in the government? What does my future look like? We ask these questions over and over again. We dream about what our future may look like, sometimes forgetting about the present. But still, we have no answers to these questions. In fact, as you have been reading, the uncertainty of today's time has caused the anxiety and depression rates to skyrocket amongst people across the globe. I have a friend who has been battling depression for years. She once tried to take her own life. She has regular counseling appointments. She took a month off to go back home and be with her family. And when she tried to reschedule, there is a 7-month waiting list. She used to get in by just calling a week in advance. People want certainty. Because right now, all that we know is fleeting. It's like those toddlers learning to swim. They're scared to leave the wall because they don't know what awaits them in the water where they can't touch. But God. This is literally one of my most favorite moments in Scripture, where you read through the word and suddenly it says, but God. All this is happening, but God. Say it with me, but God. This is a beautiful moment in Scripture. We are admonished in Hebrews in the same way. You are enduring persecution and uncertainty and things that we can't imagine. Hang on. Cling to the only certainty we have, which is Jesus Christ. His promises will be upheld. His word will remain true. This sounds simple, but complete trust in our Lord Jesus Christ continues to elude all of us. We are human after all. And placing our trust in someone or something has always failed. People have lied, cheated, betrayed us. Political figures have broken deals and promises. Our own parents have let us down. Even the spiritual leaders we've looked to have fallen short of the perfection we expected. No wonder we have trust issues. Anybody know this game? Exploding Kittens. I know there's some people in here that know this game well. You want to have trust issues with the people you love, you play Exploding Kittens. There are cards in here that are kittens that explode. If you have this card and you don't have a card called Diffuse, you are out of the game. Might be just the second time around. The really scary part about trusting people you love in this game is that if you play a kitten, you get to then put it back in the deck somewhere, anywhere you want. Most of the time, you are so distrustful of the people you're playing with, you're certain they put it right on top so that you have to draw it next. And they know you don't have a diffuse card. So trust issues. In my house, you don't trust anybody during a game. I'm not even sure that those people still love me when we're playing Settlers of Catan or other card games. So we have trust issues. But God. The author of Hebrews takes us back over those ancestral stories to remind us that God has proven himself trustworthy. He is not like us. He has continued to redeem and restore his people over and over and over again. It's a beautiful reminder that faith in God doesn't rest in our ability to trust him, but in his trustworthy nature. Right? It's not about whether or not we can figure out how to trust him. He is trustworthy in character. We easily place our trust in him, just like the little swimmers. Each week, as they get to know me better, they go, oh, I can go out in the water with her. She's not going to let go of me. I can jump off the wall. She will bring me up out of the water. The more we get to know God, the more time we spend with him, the more we understand his character by continually reading his word, the easier it becomes to trust him. Only then can we find ourselves able to swim into those deeper waters of uncertainty. And only then can we be confident in what we cannot see and assured of what we hope for. Amen.
Thank you. praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Lord, we raise up a joyful noise as we know you are present everywhere, and now we know Madeline has similar abilities. God, we ask a blessing upon the gifts poured out this day, upon the sacrifices, the offerings, the tithes, that we may create space here at Central and in the ministries of these good people to continue to build these stories of faith, that we continue to allow space for spaces like AA and groups that keep coming here seeking sanctuary, that we're able to continue to reach out to our neighbors who are hurting, and for those many who are anxious and depressed. Lord, let us offer this hope and this good news forever. Lord, we bring these offerings before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, the final hymn for today is the Green 3002, Blessed Be Your Name. Sherry and I will just think about the words as we share them with you.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name. Blessed be your name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, where the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Give and take away. You give and take away. Lord, we'll choose to say.
God is, and the power He has in our lives.
This when I forget the voice that's holding back the waves was once the voice that told the skies to pour them into place. Let us join the endless song of everlasting praise, the only God who empties graves. Oh, through these plates, if your word made them